I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat. I got a very special guest on my show. This woman is an independent recording artist. She's a TV reality star. Ladies and gentlemen, Amina Butterfly.
Hey.
How you doing, love?
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. It's been a blessing. I mean, I appreciate you. You know, you responded very quickly when I sent my inquiry about interviewing you. And, you know, you don't know me for a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But you are contributing to my dream today, so.
And it was crazy because I have so many DMs these days. And I normally just scroll by and I don't even open everything, maybe like 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
I feel bad sometimes because, you know, there's some nice ones in there that I'm probably missing. But that day I was just like, I kind of like landed on yours and I looked at your page and I was like, wow, this is interesting. And I started looking at some videos and I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to come and like talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate you appreciating my work. Sure. You know, so again, this show is about, you know, getting inside information for those looking to be in your position. And you as a, you know, TV reality star and an independent recording artist, I want to shed light on the entrepreneurial side of your grind. You know what I'm saying? And I want, let's start from the beginning. You know, where are you from?
Well, I was born and raised in Germany.
Okay.
So I'm European.
Okay.
That's why you may hear an accent come out here and there.
It's all good.
I lived in New York for 14 years. Now currently I'm in LA. I've been here for 3.5 years.
You're going too fast. What part of New York you was living at?
So literally within the 14 years, I was all over the place, but the majority of the time I lived in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Different parts of Brooklyn, but that's always going to have like a special place in my heart because I just have so many memories from there. And that time, at first it was with my sisters and then later by myself, you know, when they left me because they moved back to Germany one by one, over the years.
Do you miss them?
Yeah, of course. But you know, it was a phase like, because we moved to New York, I just turned 20, I was like 19. And then my entire 20s I spent in New York with my sisters. Our older sister left the group, Black Butterfly, in like 2006. And then it was just me and my twin sister. You know, I have an identical twin.
Why did she leave?
The artist life. You know, we were struggling. You know, so we were like, we had gotten signed.
Yeah.
Then we got released from the label because they didn't put out our album. Mm. Basically, we got dropped. So then we had got another deal. We got signed again. And literally, the ups and downs in the music business, you never know. Sometimes, you know, you experience the most amazing things and then the next day, like, you, like, broke.
Yeah.
So everybody been there. I mean, at least the artists that, you know, most artists I know have been there to where they don't know what, you know, what tomorrow brings. And but then, you know, when you get signed, it's like, oh, everything's gonna be great. And then it turns out it's not that easy. It doesn't mean that everything's gonna work out now just because you signed a contract. And that we had to learn twice,
right,
me and my sisters, because both of our record deals didn't really give us the success or bring us the success that we thought.
Was this an independent label or a major?
No, we were signed to two majors. I was signed in 2006 to Def Jam.
Okay.
Under L.A. Reid and Russell Simmons with Black Butterfly, my two sisters. And then in 2009, I want to say, it was just me and Jazz, my twin. We got another deal with MBK Entertainment, who at the time had Alicia Keys. And, you know, they got us distribution through J Records. However, they never put out any of our music. We worked for 3 years. We worked our asses off and never put anything out. I was very frustrated during that time. But I always say that I feel like even though it didn't work out the way we thought, at the end, I learned so much about myself. And even as an artist, I taught myself how to play instruments within that time. I taught myself how to engineer. I just became so much better of an artist because of the fact that they didn't have us working as much. I kind of kept myself busy. And through my frustration, like with, you know, being signed and not coming out, I kind of evolved so much as an artist. So I always think that it was still a good thing that, you know, we had those experiences. And now I know, you know, being signed versus indie, what is best for me, at least at this time. And now I'm also older and things like that. But it was still, everything is, in my eyes, has been good experience. So
yeah, that was actually going to be my follow up question to that. When I was like, "Well, do you feel like it was a waste of time or a learning experience?"
And
it seemed like you learned from the time.
And
that
I'm
you
not
had.
Mad, you know, at the time, like people, because we came up, like we were signed. The first deal we had, it was the time where Chris Brown, he was 16, he was on tour with us. Nobody knew who he was.
Mm.
Neo had just gotten signed to Def Jam.
Mm.
Nobody knew who he was.
Mm.
And then there was Black Butterfly, and Rihanna.
Right.
And Rihanna was also a brand new artist. Everyone was talking about her. And we were like, who is this girl? Like, you know, and then like a year or two later, all of them were these big stars. And we were like left behind. We were like, what the hell?
They why do you even think that is?
You know, people.
That's the million-dollar question. Like, why do you think that?
You know, I feel like with our specific situation.
Yeah.
It was too many people involved in our situation, because we had a joint venture deal with RSMG, Russell Simmons label, and
mm-hmm.
Def Jam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other artists I just named, they were just strictly Def Jam. And we were like in this big, you know, there was too many like just hands in the pot, like people trying to put us into the right direction and having different opinions. Like LA Reid wanted us to be a pop group because we're from Europe. Russell Simmons wanted us to be hip hop and urban. And it was like, you know, then we had this record with Fabolous called Bad Girl. Some people might remember it.
Uh-huh. That's one of my favorite rappers.
LA Reid was like seeing us and it had a different vision for the group. So I kind of was like, I feel like definitely it was a direction thing. And then also that we never felt like they really pushed us. Like, you know, they pushed the other acts.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also happened, like, for instance, Rihanna had that, her first hit song, like, on the replay, like, jumped off like that on radio. And with us, they pushed our album date back 3 times. And we did do a lot of touring with that deal, which I will never forget because it's some of the greatest experiences we had with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just, like, traveling the whole United States, as you know, coming from Germany, is like, oh, now we're on promo tour. And then they did play our song on the radio at the time. People knew who we were when we would come to the cities. And it was like, it was a good buzz. Like, and then we ended up on the soundtrack for a movie. And we did have, you know, I want to say, for me, like I just said, coming from Germany, it was a big success. Like,
doing
all that stuff and being with everybody. But if you compare it to where they all are, and then I never made it that big, it's like,
Not yet.
Right. No, it's still time for that. I'm still, it's crazy because so many years have passed and this is how I know that this is who I am and who I was supposed to be, because I know a lot of groups and artists and singers from that time that now I don't even think they're still doing it. But like, I have never done anything else in my life but be a musician. So it's like, and it is because of how much I love it. So I know every day I wake up, that's what I do. It's just, you know, even though I haven't had that huge number one hit, like, it doesn't matter to me because I still, you know, that's not why I do it.
Right.
It's because of how much I
love
it.
Because you love it.
Yeah. I'll always be here.
Hell yeah.
For those who care.
Hell yeah. What's the music scene like in Germany? You know, even when you were out there, like, what was the scene?
It's
like
a hard question because I haven't spent any time. I go once a year to see my family. My entire family is still in Germany. But I don't spend enough time there to know. So I really don't know what's in the charts.
What about back then?
Like, back then, I do know that it chased me out of the country. And me and my sisters hated it. And we were like, we cannot stay here, because literally we were like inspired by like the 90s R&B groups, like, you know, SWV and all those, you know, Brownstone and En Vogue. And we loved that stuff. And music like that was just not made in Germany ever. Nobody was able to do it. There were no producers that could make that sound.
Yeah.
There were even no singers that could sing like that. And we were aspiring to do that. And so we were like, we got to go to where they do that. That's America.
Right.
So we like just booked a ticket to New York and.
So, I mean, wait, you guys just
literally
booked a ticket? Like,
yeah.
I mean, were you working? How did you get this money?
It's all in my book. I have a book out called
okay.
The Other Woman.
Okay.
And it is about my experience on television, which comes later. But I also, in the first 3 or 4 chapters of the book, I talk about that journey. Like, coming from Germany and moving to New York with literally $600 and nothing.
Where can I get this book?
It's on Amazon. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. So go online and you can just find it if you search my name, Amina Pankey, or The Other Woman. That's the title of the book. And
congrats,
it's interesting.
On that. That's
awesome. It's a very personal book. You know, I talk about, you know, all that people saw on TV happening later on Love and Hip Hop.
Did you do an audio version to this book?
I didn't. I know.
Yeah, yo, I was just talking to my boy.
I could still do it. Because
he's writing a book, and I'm like, yo, why don't you do an audio? Because me personally, I like to be read too, not to read.
Yeah,
so
I should do that.
I listen to audio books all the time, so you should.
I get literally being independent and recording. I recorded all my albums at home. My
That's
latest.
What I'm saying.
I could totally record that book and, like, you know.
You wrote it, exactly.
Like
you could kind of like do little clip notes as you're talking. Like, I think that'd be
dope.
Right.
Maybe I should do that.
Not maybe.
Right.
Now.
That's
the time is now. Sleep is for billionaires.
Yeah, right.
You know what
I'm
saying?
I'm
going to
do that, actually. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, but you can read about that whole journey being in New York and how we kind of, you know, we would, in the beginning, me and my sisters would go back and forth a lot between Germany and New York because we just didn't have the money to like stay a long time. And immigration, it's like you can't only stay 90 days at a time. So at the time, after 3 months, we had to go. And
so
then we would come right back,
oh,
you know, the next month.
Oh, okay.
We did that back to back until, you know, at the time it wasn't so strict. Now, like with Trump and everything, like you can't do that. You can't, as a tourist, you can't keep coming here and like they're gonna start asking you, you know, to get a proper work visa or something. At the time, we were just being tourists, trying to make it, trying to network. Yeah, and then when we did get signed, they, you know, got us a work permit, and we were good, always like for a year at the time. But it was always a struggle with the immigration situation until I got married.
Yeah.
That's later.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So tell me about Love and Hip Hop. How did that situation come about?
Literally through... at the time, my boyfriend, no, he was already my husband. So I married Peter Guns.
Peter.
People know.
Uptown, baby. Shout out Peter Guns.
We fell madly in love, and I'm like, we got married. But the crazy thing was that he still had a girlfriend.
Ah.
Which everybody also knows, most people.
No comment.
So he was actually in contact with some of the Love and Hip Hop producers because he was friends with Rich Dollars.
Mm.
So that's how it all came about. So Rich would be like, yo, come to set, we're filming today. And I was with Peter, and he was like, you want to go to like this show, they're filming something? And I'm like, okay. So I didn't know anybody there, but apparently he kind of like was cool with a couple of the producers. And then when they started asking him about his life and found out what's going on there, they were like,
this guy has got a show.
Yeah. It was so crazy timing because it was literally, we were newly married and his still girlfriend didn't know. And that's when the whole talk with Love and Hip Hop started. And the timing was couldn't have been better because, you know, it's literally some TV stuff like that was happening in our real life. Because after I married Peter, realized that he never broke up with Tara. And that it wasn't, you know, that it was just such a crazy thing because all I was waiting for was for him to tell her. I was like, you can't keep this a lie. And that's one of the reasons why I was like down to do the show, because I knew that by doing the show, he wouldn't be able to lie anymore.
Right.
You know, and I was tired of this lying stuff. So anyway, my main reason for going on Love and Hip Hop was because I was an independent artist. I wasn't signed anymore. I was working in New York, a regular job as a singer, but it was a job. I had to go every night and sing, which was fun. But still, it really wasn't, you know, I felt like I want more exposure.
Yeah,
and I feel like if
yeah.
I go on the show, finally I'm going to get seen. And I really thought only about the positive that could come from it. I did not think about the negative, which later got to me badly, really bad, because there was a lot of negative that
How did you overcome all that negative, you know, with the whole him having a side girl,
yes,
whatever?
Yes, you know, at the beginning, I was definitely the bad guy. And I wasn't used to that because I'm just like, that's what my friends would say about me and my family. I'm like the nicest person. So to have anyone say anything bad about me was like, I didn't know how to even deal with that. I had to really grow thick skin. And that's what made me so strong. I feel like, you know, because I wasn't used to all that hate, and it was, I got bombarded. It's like, you really underestimate it. You think like, oh, some people are not going to like me. You know, you get bombarded with like.
And it comes from all angles, like every social media platform.
It was so bad. It was really, definitely underestimated that. And
what was the worst thing anybody ever said to you?
I mean, you know, death threats and stuff like that are the worst. We know where you are. Like, I never was scared because at the end of the day, I know like those people are just people who do that. They're just, like, I kind of like almost feel bad for them. Definitely now. Yeah. But it was just those things. Or saying my daughter, something about, you know, about my daughter and things that are, I guess, the worst. But at this time, having dealt with that for like 4+ years, it doesn't bother me. Right. When anybody says anything.
Right.
Like, it's really crazy to think that how it affected me then and now, it does not affect me what anybody says. It's actually great. I'm thankful for it.
So you would say that that whole experience helped you?
Made me definitely stronger and just deal with things better. Being in a public eye, like, when you're not, you can't, literally, like, even people like Mariah Carey talk about it, that they, you know, can't take, like, hateful comments and stuff like that, but they, man, you have to have thick skin, like, you just...
Yeah, man, because a lot of people ask for this dream, and it's like, all they want is the happy ending, you know, they don't realize what's attached to that happy ending, and it's like, be careful what you wish for, because you really just might get it. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, what is the ultimate goal for you? Because through your story, you shed light on, you know, getting this exposure, and it's like, well, I'm finally going to be this, that, and the third, you know. So what is your ultimate goal?
Right. So definitely when it's changed a lot. Mm. Now I'm older. I'm 36 years old. Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
I've been through a lot. Yeah, I'm not even 34. Mad at it. I'm excited every year to get older, because I feel now that with age, I get better.
More
I
life.
Get happier. I get more aware of who I am, and life gets better. And I feel like anything about myself, even the way I look, I feel better about myself, you know, with age, so I'm not mad. But when I was younger, when we first started this journey, like when we first moved to New York, my ultimate goal and the dream was to be the biggest star, you know, like a lot of kids, like a lot of artists have, like, I want to be
Michael Jackson.
No matter what, I'm going to do whatever. Now it's totally changed, you know, because I just don't sacrifice as an artist anymore. I'm not willing to do that because I've done that for so many years. And it's, to me, it's now about happiness. Really, that's what my goal is, to remain happy, because I feel like I'm in a good place after everything I've been through with the show. But to remain happy and be able to do what I love forever. And, you know, now having my kids, they also changed a lot of the way I look at things. But my goal is not, oh, I want a number one hit. No, my goal is I want to forever be making beautiful music that make people happy, and be able to be comfortable and provide for my kids and just really genuinely feel happiness. That's my goal in life.
Yeah, your priorities change as you go. Yeah. Like you said, it's about the kids now.
I'm not like, I'm chasing this one thing. I want a Grammy. Like, would be cool. Would be nice. I still feel like I deserve one.
Yeah,
and maybe hopefully it's still going to happen. But I'm not, it's not like, I got to get this. Like that's what it used to be.
Well, it's coming. You got the new single out, Drinks on Me, right?
Yeah, my new song, Drinks on Me, just dropped.
How did that come about? Like, how was, what was inspired?
It's interesting because, you know, I think this is going to be my third full independent album. And I've released so much music on my own versus with the label. We literally dropped 2 singles being signed twice for years and years. But this, as an indie artist, I've put out 3 EPs, and this is my third full album. It's going to have 11 songs on it. And for the first time in a long time, I collaborated with someone, a producer who is amazing, who I've met last year, like last November, not even a year ago. We've known each other, but we kind of make magic together, and I have struggled to find that person that can really complement my writing and my, you know, my style of music that I make, that I create. And I'm just, I kind of like Because, you know, I used to, like, pull from different people. I, like, produce a lot of my own stuff, have a lot of acoustic songs, and then have this beat from that person. And this album is literally a collab between this... his name is Marty West. Marty West and me. I'm the artist. I'm the one who people know. I'm the one that's singing, that wrote the songs, but he did all the music, and it's amazing because we just blend so well together. So I'm excited. The album is going to be called After Dark. It also has two meanings. Maybe I should say that.
Yeah, you should.
So After Dark is my most...
You hear After Dark, you think like BET Uncut.
Listen, it's part of it. It's my most grown and sexy album.
Okay.
It's definitely like, you know, the songs when you hear them, they have a vibe that, like, it's like a nighttime vibe, you know, like very,
a bunch of sexy songs. Yeah, I thought that with Drinks On Me. Drinks On Me was kind of like, already. Really, like, smooth and sexy.
And I have a few of those sexy songs that talk about, you know, me being open for something new and, you know, missing that, you know, intimacy with someone, because I've been single now for a while. But, and After Dark also has another meaning for me because people have seen me so low, and the way I got introduced, I feel like, to the world now, because most people do know me from that show, has been so like, oh, she's always crying, she's always sad, it's just all dark.
Well, that's kind
after
of what
the
best
dark
music
period of my life. I came out of it. I overcame all the heartbreak and all this stuff. So after a dark period of my life, who I am now, who I've become. And that's After Dark. So those two meanings are like kind of, it just came to me because I actually have a song on there entitled After Dark. And it's about, you know, it's really simply about like, come over and make love to me. When I thought about it, I was like, yo, all these songs sound like something you listen to like at night. And like, then I thought about, and they reflect where I am now in my life versus, like, you know, a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I'm excited. Drinks On Me is the second single, actually, I dropped. Been There, Done That in July. Drinks On Me just came out. And I may even drop a third before the album because the album's not going to be here till late October. I'm excited about this. I feel like it's my best work.
Congrats.
Some of my best work, for sure.
Now, you seem happy about it, man.
Yeah.
So tell me, now, as an independent artist and a mother of two, how do you plan to strategically, like, market and promote this project to where it can be successful, meaning sell?
Yeah, and that's where I struggle. I'm just going to be real honest, like, because I always keep it real. So I feel like the reason why I'm not as big as I feel like I deserve to be or should be, and most people... especially people that do follow me and like my stuff and comment under my posts, they're like, you need to be way bigger. Why are you not on the radio? You should be here. You should be there. I agree with them. But that's my struggle. And that is where I'm still struggling and maybe should be looking for help. But, you know, it's hard to find the right team. Like, it's like, I literally, like, because people are like, you got to get yourself a manager. Like, that's so easy. It's not. Like, it has to be the right fit. It is going to be a relationship, just like a personal relationship. I feel like a business relationship, it needs to be the right fit, and they have to have the same vision as me. They, at this time in my life, I can't have nobody telling me how to make my music. I just refuse. Because I so much know who I am as an artist.
Yeah. So, well, you got to take some constructive criticism.
Sure. But... because of the fact that I don't do it for that number one hit, I feel like I only have to do what I love. You know what I mean?
I understood. And as an artist, you know, because I was at that point in my time where you couldn't tell me nothing about music. I was the hottest thing ever. But when I started accepting constructive criticism, it wasn't necessarily to get that number one hit, but to please the ears around me, so to speak. Meaning, like, you know, like, for example, if I have my boys here, right, and my boys, you know, we kind of like the same music, and I drop a track, and it's like, yeah, you know, maybe you could have mixed this a little better or said this a little different. You know,
right.
I would take heed to what they're saying because, one, they're my people. They're not going to steer me in the wrong direction. And two, they like music I like music. So,
yeah,
you know, making something pleasing to the common
ear.
Oh,
for sure. I have to say, like, collaborating with Marty, he wanted to make sure that what we put out is polished. You know, because I'm always like, oh, this is good the way it is. Like, let's just put it out. He was like, no, it's got to be right. I'm thankful for that. And it's probably something where I I did take that advice, and we did go with an amazing engineer who mixed my entire record. Because of that, because I would have probably just put it out as is, and it wouldn't have been as great. So now that's why I'm so excited. Yeah. You can tell. But that's you're sad, right. Yeah. You're right about that. It's just that
you're stubborn.
I'm stubborn, but I also, I don't do it for that reason that others may do it. I'm mm-hmm. not mad that I'm not on the number one. Mm-hmm. I'm putting something out there that I created, that I'm proud of, that will be there forever. And that is basically my goal. That's what makes me happy to share with the world. Yes. Okay. And I want to be able to share. And whatever comes after that, if it's going to be a number one hit or not, mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Got it.
It doesn't matter to me because that is my fulfillment. It's like, it's out there. It's there, you know? Like, if people don't catch up on it, it's a shame because it's amazing. It's dope, yeah. But to me, whatever comes after it's out there really don't matter, you know, to me as an artist.
Right.
So that's where I'm with it.
No, that's for something. That's good. And I wish you much success.
And that's why when people tell me how to do things, I'm like, yeah, you may be right. And maybe I should listen if I want it to be number one. But I don't care about that. I care about that. I love it more.
Yeah.
You know?
Do your kids like music? Mm-hmm. Like, do they like singing and stuff?
They love it. Oh, my God. Especially Bronx.
Yeah.
My daughter, she just turned 3. And congrats. She, every morning, like, they always prefer music to television. Mm. Like, they, like, in the morning, she's like, I want music. I have to put music on for her.
Yeah.
And she's so cute. Yeah. She knows all my songs. She's singing all of my songs.
That's cool.
That's it. Yeah.
Would you want them to be a part of the music industry?
If they want. I want them to do what they want. Mm-hmm. Like, I would always encourage them to, you know, do what... I would never try to push them into anything. Mm-hmm. You have to do this or that, you know. Because, you know, my mom was very free with us, and I always appreciate that. So I'm going to be that way with my kids, I'm sure, yeah. Definitely, I'm with them. I'm like that with them now, so...
No, that's good. That's good. The reason why I ask, because, you know, the trials and tribulations
you've been through. I will definitely share my experiences. I will make sure they know that it's, you know, what it's like, that it's not, like,
it ain't just a happy ending, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But, I think they get, people always used to ask me, too, like, how do you think your kids going to look at you when they see your TV? I know they will be just fine because they know who I am and they will know why I did what I did. And I'm not worried about that at all. And you know what matters is to me is the outcome, because people used to always tell me like, oh, you're giving them a bad example because you're letting them see how their dad is playing you, all that stuff. Mm. But to me, what matters is that I showed them what it's like what it means to having to be strong. And I took them with me and I moved out here by myself and I let go and I struggled with it, but I did it and I showed them what that, you know, that I'm not going to be treated that way in the end. It may have been too long, but better late than never.
Right, no, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. What's your relationship like with Peter now?
Good. Very good. Actually, much better.
The co-parenting.
Much better than what people seem. We don't ever fight or argue. Like, great, you know, I always tell people I'm so happy that I had kids with him, even though we didn't end up together, even though he's not even in the same state, he's all the way in New York. Mm. Things can always be better. There's stuff I complain about with him all the time, and he knows. I feel like he can put more effort into coming to see them, but, you know, I know that, you know, he loves them, he loves all his kids, like, the same, and he does what he can. He literally lives his life
for his kids,
yeah. Mm. So, and I know that, you know, he at the end of the day is a good person. And I always think about, like, people that I've been with in my life, if I would have had kids with this one or that one, like, I'm just so happy it was Peter. Yeah. Because as a person, I will always love him. He's family now. And I'm happy that he's my family because he's still, like, one of my favorite people.
That's cool.
But the good thing is that now I can even laugh about what happened. And I'm... You know, I'm totally okay not being with him, like, which I wasn't for a while when I moved out here. Literally took me 2 years to accept that that's not going to be mine, you know, but after I get out of it, after dark.
Yeah.
Ready for something new and excited and happy. And I'm in such a better place than what people see me last on TV. And that's why sometimes I'm like, maybe I should go back on reality TV because I'm so, you know, they would see a different me.
Yeah, no, you seem very happy and very bright, you know, about your life.
Is. Yeah, you know? I learned how to like kind of be optimistic more and positive because I used to like, especially like some people in my family, even my mother, she's very, you know, can be pessimistic and negative and like not daring to do things. I'm the one in the family that like I go for it and whatever it is that I want to do, I feel like I can do anything, especially after what I've been through and having my kids and raising them alone. Like, I feel like I'm so powerful and I feel good about it. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. So tell me, I mean, with all that being said, everything you've been, I got a question for you. Yes. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Okay. I see myself definitely still making music, always. Mm-hmm. Hopefully my fan base will grow. I see it growing, which is great because I feel like people are really starting to see the real me. Mm-hmm. And that was always the problem with TV. I felt misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like they're starting to really see who I am and you know, grow my fan base, tour, be a musician, always be a musician, always be number one, be the mommy to my kids. Mm-hmm. And I possibly would have another one. I'm open for it. But I don't want to have another son or daughter by myself.
You mean child? Okay.
Another baby. Because that's the number one, like one of the biggest questions I get if I want more kids these days.
Right.
People always ask me about my kids and then they're like, what, do you have more? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying never, but I would want that family vibe, you know, family situation where I find my new husband first.
Yeah. I was like, you gotta start there first.
So that's first, but you I'm not focused right on first. That. You know, I'm so focused, like I said, on finding the being remaining happy because I am pretty happy at this time in my life. And the good thing is that I didn't need anyone else to become that. I found that on my own. That's also what makes me feel so powerful because I found a way back to like being happy and positive alone without being with anyone. So now I feel like it's almost harder for people to date me because so I don't take no shit no more.
You're so independent.
I'm so independent. I'm so like, I don't need nobody. But at the same time, I want that again. But I see myself still making music and, you know, just like doing what I love. I want to inspire. That's why I wrote this book. And my second book is coming too. I didn't talk about that
yet. No, we still on. Is this the My Dishes?
My Dishes is coming.
Tell me about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it is. I feel so crazy because I've been talking about this book for so long. And
describe what's in the book.
So like, it started out because on social media, I set up a food page after people started asking for my recipes that I posted on my story. All the time,
recipes and stuff.
A lot of on the healthy side because I like to be healthy and I like to eat healthy. But you know, I also eat bad stuff.
A burger.
Yes, for sure, burger and fries. But mostly healthy. Yeah. I kind of like to be healthy. So people started asking me like, we need these recipes. Then I started a food page. That's how I started. And then I was like, I need to really like write down all these recipes because there's a demand for it. So I started writing a recipe book. Then it became, how did this recipe end up in my book? Then I started telling a story about that, you know, because there's a lot of things like me growing up in Germany, like that people are not used to over here, that I make for me and my kids. And I started talking about how this food makes me feel before a workout. And then it kind of like added all these other elements. And one of my best friends, my very best friend, Nicole Russell, she is also an author, and she was like, you should just put all your like workout routines and everything else in the book too and make it a whole lifestyle thing. And I was like, but that's gonna be so much work. And then she was right, because it was worth it though. I did do that, and then it ended up becoming a guide for women to follow my lifestyle. So now it's not only recipes. There's recipes for 30 days, but it's also fitness routines. It's also little things that I do to keep at peace. Like when I'm stressed, you know,
yeah, yoga helps yoga, me a lot. Yeah, there we go.
I get so many yoga questions, and I'm not even a certified yoga instructor, but people always tell me, are you teaching yoga anywhere? You should open your studio.
Are you thinking about becoming an instructor?
I think there's going to be a time in my life when I'm going to get certified, yeah, and start teaching yoga. I feel like I'm, yeah.
Does it take a lot to do that?
It's never too late. I can do that when I'm 50.
Does it take a lot to do that? To get a certification for
no.
that?
I mean, no. Anybody can. Dedication, you have to love it. You have to be a yogi and be about that life and yeah. that healthy life. And but I think it's definitely, I think one day I'm going to do it. And for right now, I'm just sharing my experience, how it's helping me, how I got into it, because I literally looked at all the questions I get on a daily basis, and I'm like, I can't just answer individually. I'm just going to write all the answers in this book about my yoga, how I started, about what I do for fitness every day, about what I eat every day, because people are just fascinated, like, how are you so fit and you have these kids and like, I struggle like every day. I literally get these messages. How can you help me? And with my workout routine, I want to be fit like you. And like, I'm like, okay, let me just share it. So that's My Dishes and More is the title now, because it was My Dishes. And then I added all these other things. That was My Dishes and More. And it is a picture based book. So it's very visual. So every page has picture, and then a little part where I talk about what to do for that day. So for 30 days, you can just follow the things that I do. And, you know, I don't make any promises about like, oh, you're going to lose weight or you're going to do this. But it's just literally supposed to help you feel more at ease, because we get overwhelmed, especially mothers. And like, you know, asking me all the time, how do you even have time to work out? Like, I kind of like just explain how I do it step by step. So yeah, any mother out there, or even just women without kids, can follow what I do. And it only takes about, like, you need like maybe an hour or two a day to follow my instructions for that day. And every day varies. It's different things that I instruct people to do. And yeah, then just get inspired by seeing all my beautiful pictures. Shout out to Amina. There's my photographer's name is Amina too. She did all the pictures in the book. So yeah, it's gonna be great. I finished this book in May, but it's still you know, we had some editing issues, and then I had some publishing issues. So now I'm finalizing, and hopefully it'll be out around the same time my album comes out. That'll be
dope. Drop the album and the book at the same day.
Yeah, people have been asking, and I'm like, I don't have, actually, this book I'm self-publishing, and so it's a little different, but therefore I'm so much more excited when it's finally out and people are able to get it. Because I've had such high demand for it right now.
Yeah.
So.
There you go. That's what's up. I wish you much success with that. Thank you. I can't wait to read it and to hear it. You know, do you act at all? Are you jumping into acting?
You know, I have started thinking about it because I get approached so much here in LA. When I go out, like, I get that question all the time.
Yeah.
I have acted only like in stage plays. I've done a couple of plays. I've never been in a film. But I've done some, like, actually I did do like a short film, but only acting I've really done is stage, which was fun. And I'm like, maybe I should tap into that a little bit. It's just when something is, you hesitate when something's new to you, you know, but I'm definitely tempted, and I probably will, you know, try to do a little bit of that, like, especially
because... I could help you at least get started, because, you know, I'm in the acting field as well. Cool. Yeah, so, and one thing I like about LA, it's very structured with the opportunity they give independent artists, you know what I'm saying? So it's a bunch of websites you can just sign up to, pay your monthly subscription, put a little filter, like, oh, I'm light skin, I got a beard, a shortcut, whatever, and they'll send you roles based on your description all day to your email, and all you gotta do is click submit, and they will call you. And on top of that, all them shits are paid. Paid role. That's what I'm saying. So, and right now for you, no, because I'm in the union. I'm a SAG-AFTRA artist. Nice. Yeah, so, but
see,
you...
See, that's... I always like, oh, damn, you need to be in the union to do all this.
Well, not necessarily, because I feel like I jumped in too early. You know what I'm saying? Just being thirsty to be on. Right now, it's a lot more non-union work than SAG. Okay. Now, the thing with SAG is, like, SAG does pay more for your time, and also production don't pay you. Yeah, you got SAG to back you up and get your money. With non-union, you got to do most of the work. But again, there's more non-union work now. So okay. For you, it'll be more of a chance to get into more roles and, right. You know, build your following that way. And then, like with me, once I'm on set, I get cool with the directors and producers. And I'll be like, yo, I do music too. You need music for the film. And then they'll license your shit like that. And then that's another check. Yeah. You know, so that's another. I came here to use my acting, you know, my good looks to be on film. Yes. You know what I'm saying? To push my music in that direction. So I think you should do the same thing.
For sure. I'm just, auditioning is scares me. Because especially when it's not, auditioning like to sing something, But like to like act, it's not really what I do. So it's new.
It's scary. And then it's
I think I would be super nervous.
So I think for me, it was the scariest before I walked in the room. Like the audition process and maybe like the 5 minutes sitting there before I walk in the room, like fuck. But once you walk in through the doors, it's like you gotta turn that light on. It's like you're performing. You're performing. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, just do what you rehearsed.
Right.
That's right. It. Just do what you rehearsed, man.
Yeah, you're making me wanna do all these things. Audiobook. Hey,
listen, sleep is for billionaires. I'm here to motivate.
Oh my God, I already get so much on my plate. But yeah, it's definitely something. I want to do it. I want to do it for sure.
Hey, man. Well, let the people know where they can follow you or book you for features and shows.
Yes. So my main, I guess, social media is Amina Butterfly. I'm spelled with 2 D's. BUDDAFLY. I have a website. IamAmina.com. That has also like a email list so you can know about shows and things where, you know, things like that when my releases are coming out. I send out emails like every time I release something. So that's it. Amina Butterfly and IamAmina.com.
There it is. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, the lovely Amina Butterfly. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. And make sure you look out for her new single, Drinks on Me.
Video too. Coming soon.
Hopefully shot by your boy.
Oh, yeah.